The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be here today. Have you ever encountered something that was much bigger than you originally thought? Parenting, for example, is one of those things, right? As much as people could tell you about how hard it is and how life encumbering it is, you still get the sense that when you get into it, it's much bigger than you would have imagined it to be. And speaking of parenting and things that are bigger than they seem, let me tell you about being a parent of a union marching band member. Anna, our oldest daughter, was in the 9th grade, and this was her first year of marching band. She's been in the band, you know, but this is the first year she was able to be in the marching band. My wife Mary Frances, was in the marching band both in high school and in college at the University of Arkansas. So it's not like we don't understand the band world. We do. We understood what was going on here. But I thought when Anna said, hey, I think I'd like to do this, I go, hey, that'll be fun. You know, she'll get to play at a couple football games and pump the crowd up with fight songs and such. That's kind of neat. If only it were that easy. My first indication that something was off was when I was informed I'd be dropping Anna off at school at 6 a.m. So I asked a question. I said, you mean on game days, right? And the answer came back, oh no, not on game days, every single day. She takes private lessons once a week. So I asked the question, is that just during marching season? The answer came back, oh no, not just during marching season, all year long. The practices in the summer start early. So I would pick Anna up at noon and I would ask a question, are you finished for the day? The answer came back, oh no. Not finished. We have to be back for our afternoon practice later on. I have to work the concession stand at the Drillers home games to pay for everything with all of these experiences. And there are fundraisers. There are popcorn fundraisers and sausage fundraisers and phone charger fundraisers and butter braid fundraisers and Chick-fil-A calendar fundraisers. There are competitions. So I ask a question, are these just local competitions? The answer comes back, oh no! There are district and state and national competitions. Game days are insane. I drop her off again at 6 a.m. I do not pick the child up until 11:30 that night. And so I ask a question, can we go home now? The answer comes back, oh no! We have to go to the band pizza party that starts at midnight. Everyone's going to be there, Dad. Auditions and concerts and spring training and uniform fitting. Parties to celebrate the beginning of the year. Parties to celebrate the end of the year. Parties to celebrate the middle of the year. Do you think I asked any more questions about being finished? I just assume now that there are 12 to 15 band opportunities every week. I've made peace with it, kind of. But let me tell you what the bigger world of the band has done. Even as a baby, Anna was incredibly shy. Many of you have purchased fundraising items from this very shy child. Do you know what she says when she delivers the butter braids or the blue and gold sausage? Do you know what she says? I'm actually asking you because no one can hear her when she's delivering her stuff. She will come with her butter braids and she will go, my gosh. And she's been this way since birth. But if you get a chance to see the Renegade Regiment, you will see her in her element. The kid raises her game, and it's fantastic to see. And I know I'm her father, I know I'm biased, but I am immensely proud of what she accomplishes on that field. And it does not happen, it would not be possible, if we did not embrace a world much bigger than I would have ever wanted or anticipated. In our text today, we hear a familiar reading, a very familiar reading. Jesus is the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. They listen to my voice. I know their name, and they know my voice. Jesus isn't the hired hand. These are his sheep, and he will do anything for them, including laying his life down for them. It is such a reassuring text with many pastoral images that you can almost bathe in with the security that you feel in this text. Because we consider ourselves part of the flock, and rightly so. We are part of Jesus' flock. But there's one line in this text that is overlooked many times when reading this passage. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they also will listen to my voice. It's a major indication that something bigger is going on here. Something bigger than our flock, bigger than our faith community, bigger than our concepts of God. Something bigger and more expansive is going on here than meets the eye. Since the dawn of time, religion has been seen and experienced as exclusive, meaning that you have to be in to enjoy the benefits. It is true of most major faiths. You must do this and believe this and belong in this way, or you are out. If you don't follow these rules, then God's love is simply not realized in your life. And do you know why that is? Do you know why major faiths take this stance? Because it is easier. When we draw lines in the sand and create an us, which means we've created a them, then it's easier to deal. And this is nothing new. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were completely opposite. And they demonized the other side until they found a common enemy in Jesus. You all know what I'm talking about. It's very divisive right now. Do you come from a red state or a blue state? Are you pro-Israel or pro-Palestine? Are you gay, straight, black, white, Star Trek or Star Wars? And we all know the answer. Live long and prosper. And do you know why we do it? Because it is a safe move. Contrasts are easier. They require less dialogue, less listening, and less thought. Because if Jesus is the good shepherd, then there must be bad shepherds out there. So we spend our time sifting out all that seem in our minds counter to Jesus. But it probably isn't counter to Jesus. They're just counter to our version of Jesus. Why can't we listen? Why can't we listen to Jesus right here? I have other sheep that are not a part of this fold, but they hear my voice as well. Yeah, there is something much bigger going on here. So let's ask the question, what makes Jesus the good shepherd? Jesus is the source of abundant life. In him is new existence and new life. And do you know why there is new life in Jesus? Because Jesus reached out to the ones that weren't experiencing abundant life. Reached out to the ones who were rejected and brought them in. Was all inclusive and brought those people that are hurting in. Tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners, the poor, the lame, the crippled, the orphaned, the widowed. These are the people that society has deemed unworthy. But with Jesus, there is new life. What makes him the good shepherd? It's because of his inclusive nature. It's because he's not interested in religious rules. It's because he loved unconditionally. But what have we done with the good shepherd? We've created a religion around him that is exclusive, rule-heavy, and actually puts conditions on the love of God so that so many people are cut out. What in the world have we done? Don't you think that there are people outside of the confines of Christianity that can hear the voice of Jesus? What about the atheist that volunteers in a trauma ward for abused children? You don't think he's hearing the voice of Jesus? What about the Muslim who works as an advocate for mental disease? You don't think she hears the voice of Jesus? What about the one who believed as a child and yet now questions everything? You don't think they can hear Jesus? What about the Buddhist who cares for the world and everything in it? You don't think Jesus is right there? What about the Dalai Lama? What about Gandhi? Look at me. Look at the life of Gandhi. And then tell me with a straight face that he didn't follow Jesus better than 99% of Christians today. I have other sheep that do not belong to this flock. And guess what? They hear my voice as well. There's something bigger going on here. And if you can't see beyond our Christian bubble, then you're going to miss out. And I don't mean you're going to be cut out. That's something totally different. And that goes contrary to the kingdom of God. You're not going to be cut out. But I do mean that you're not going to be able to experience the expansive nature of the kingdom of God. When the Harry Potter books and movies were taking the world by storm, everyone wanted a piece of this action. Everyone wanted to sell merchandise and get with J.K. Like Rowling? Rowling. Yeah, whatever. J.K., right? Get with J.K. and say, what are we doing here? I would like to participate in this. So Disney World also saw an opportunity. Disney World saw a wonderful opportunity to expand their offerings by providing a Harry Potter world. So J.K. Rowling was in deep negotiations with Disney for a recreation of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. She wanted to build, though, the castle to scale for an authentic representation. So Disney starts looking at this and looking at the plans and realized that the plans would make the Hogwarts castle bigger than the Cinderella castle, which has been Disney's logo since 1971. So they weren't about to let some new attraction be bigger than their logo. They couldn't see past their own rules and their own importance. But right down the street, Universal Studios was glad to make the concessions. And now that it has been built, it has breathed new life into Universal Studios. You can go for an entire day and not see everything that the Harry Potter world has to offer at Universal Studios. And you gotta know that the Disney execs look down the street every now and then and go, yeah, we might have missed the boat on that one right there. Now, Disney is fine. Disney's good, right? They're still making money. People are still happy. They're still called the happiest place on earth. But they couldn't see past their own circumstances and think outside the box. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And as we've seen in these scripture passages that we encounter week after week during this Easter season, as we've seen through the resurrected Christ, that ministry and kingdom building happen outside our safe bubble. So if you're choosing to stay in the bubble, you're going to be okay. You'll still be okay. You can experience God and Jesus and still be loved. But resurrection is not just an event. It's a call to action to take us beyond our bubble. There is indeed something bigger here. Might we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and do likewise? Thanks be to God. Amen.